You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Sam Norris in the chair this week, stepping in for Dave Kellner, whilst Dave takes a very well-deserved break. But fear not, we've still got Dave Tindall and Mike Grenham joining me in the studio ahead of a couple of events this week. One from Australia and one from Los Angeles, which has a cracking feel to it as well. First things first, chaps, how are we? We're both well?
We're in good form, Sam. Welcome to the podcast. First time we've done it together, I believe.
Yes, I've done a couple before with DT, but no, first time.
Yeah, it's a big step.
First
up
time
today,
in your presence, Mike. Yeah, the big leagues today. And Dave, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Is DK off because he's sulking about Danny Willett? Or is it a holiday?
When you put up a 33-1 shot win only.
Yeah, three shots clear overnight. I expect he woke up all excited on Sunday morning. Bless his little face.
Unfortunately, I had to scroll down the leaderboard rather than just stare at the first thing he saw.
To finding him in tied fifth.
I believe he's gone skiing to try and get over the disappointment of that. But
it's a great pick, wasn't it?
Maybe he should have
done it each way, I guess, or whatever. But he got a share of place, but that doesn't matter because he did it win only. So, but a great pick, and we all thought he had a winner, didn't we, really? So frustrating.
And no one in the world, I think, picked the actual winner.
No.
Fabrizio Zanotti had missed all three cuts on the desert swing, so he was sort of unbackable, really.
The guy in America was pickable, though, wasn't he?
I think so.
He certainly was. He's a bit good. The Pebble Beach Pro-Am went the way of Jordan Spieth, who got the better of fellow Texan Kelly Kraft. And he obviously had a blistering 2015. Didn't go quite as well for him in 2016, but it was always going to be hard to reach those heights. And good for him to get a win under his belt early on in 2017.
Yeah, massively important, because he's been shaping up well over the last couple of months, hasn't he? So that's got that one off his back, and he's looked set for a big year, doesn't he, Jordan Spieth? I kind of have in the back of my mind that when everyone's at their best, he might just be the best. He might just be better than Rory, I don't know, but that's just where my head is at the moment. That changes.
I think he's the man to beat at the Masters, Jordan Spieth, definitely.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. But that could change. McIlroy wins next week and we're saying he's the best ever.
Yeah,
we are very fickle, but there is something about Spieth when he's got his eye in that. He's fairly irresistible, isn't he?
Just he's the one who sort of holds all the putts, isn't he?
Which is so important, isn't it? It really is.
He also joined a very exclusive club as well, Jordan Spieth. He becomes just the second man since World War II to have won 9 times on a PGA Tour before his 24th birthday.
Good start.
Nice start, Sam.
No massive prizes for guessing who the other man is.
Tiger Woods.
Yeah, indeed. But just since World War II, just Jordan Spieth and Tiger
company.
Woods.
Not a bad company.
Indeed, the only two men to have won 9 times on the PGA Tour before their 24th birthday. What did you make of the Pebble Beach in general? It's one of the, I won't say one of the more popular events on the PGA Tour, because it's not everyone's cup of tea, but it does have a bit of something different, doesn't it, with the celeb element and the fact that it's played over 3 courses.
Well, look, it's a fantastic scene, isn't it, with the wildlife and what have you. I've actually been there, Dave. Have you been there?
Haven't you?
Yeah. Well, so having been able to stand on that 18th green and look out at the scenery is brilliant, and it's an amazing, iconic place. I do hear people say that the rest of the course isn't quite as good as the feature holes, and certainly Bill Murray wears on my patience a lot, so I don't watch an awful lot of it.
Right.
I love Groundhog Day. I could watch that.
Yes.
Every day. But some of those antics get dull, don't they?
Yeah, there's only so many sort of funny things he can do.
And I've said it before, and I apologise for saying it.
Ago.
But it has earned it a bit. So.
Yeah.
Pro-Ams.
You wouldn't want them every week, would you?
You certainly wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. No. But it's a lovely course.
Yes.
Justin Timberlake was about an inch away from a hole in one.
He was, wasn't he? Mm. Yeah.
And a good win for Jordan Spieth. Let's move on then to this week's events. We've got a couple coming up, starting with a very unique contest on the European Tour. This is the World Super 6 at Perth, formerly the Perth International. It's a European Tour event. It's a co-sanctioned event that's being played at the Lake Carignup Country Club, which has held the event since its inception in 2012. The course measures in at 7,143 yards and plays to a par of 72. But the real interest surrounding this is the format of the event. If you just bear with me, I'll give the listeners a quick run-through of the format as as I've worked it out anyway. Feel free to jump in and correct me. In years gone by, this has been a traditional stroke play tournament, but they have had an overhaul for 2017 where they play a combination of both stroke play and then match play. A field of 156 players start the event, and after 36 holes of stroke play, the field is cut to 65. They then have another cut after 54 holes, which leaves a field of 24 players, who then go into a match play format for the final day. The top eight players are given a first round bye, and then it's a case of 9th place 24th, 10th place 23rd, and so on, until we're left with a field of 16. So the best eight players of those 9 to 24 will go on to play the top eight who had a first round bye. And they then play match plays in a quarter final, semi final, and final format until the winner is decided. The match plays are decided over six holes, the par four first, the par four second, the iconic par three eighth, the par five 11th, the par 3 12th, and the par 4 18th.
You did well to remember all
so
that,
Sam. Yeah. I had to write it all down, of course. That's the format of it then. The odds see Louis Oosthuizen as the 10-1 favourite who won the event last year. Alex Norén is 11-1. 20-1 for Peter Uihlein. Thorbjørn Olsen, who has also won the event in the past, is 22-1. 25-1.
It's a different event though, Sam, isn't it? It's not quite the same format. This is the first time with this format, isn't it? They've won here, I think. Yeah, fair point.
But... so they've at least got a bit of form on the course.
Yes.
But given that it's this stroke play followed by a match play format, it adds a whole different dynamic to the betting and therefore the selections.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether I'm torn between saying you're kind of ambitious or completely mad if you're going to have a bet on this tournament. Yeah. Because it's normal for three quarters. I mean, you could get a scenario. Say Louis Oosthuizen has an incredible week, is 10 shots clear after 54 holes. Then he comes on the Sunday, plays six holes of match play and gets done by someone who he beat by 15
could
shots.
Very easy.
So how you can have a bet on it, really, I don't know. The outright market, because, I mean, first to six holes, I mean...
it is a bit of a
with
lottery.
With two par threes, you and me, Mike, could sort of win two of those, couldn't we?
We need to
we
be
had
lucky.
A good
but,
shot.
We could, though, couldn't we? Yeah. It's... I know exactly what you mean, because we don't want to discourage innovation, do we, and trying to make the game more interesting, a bit like cricket is done with the 2020s analogy, isn't it? But this is confusing, I think, and I'd like to see it. I'll have to watch it before I can make my mind up, I guess. That's where I stand.
With all these things, isn't it, often they might take a couple of years to sort of work it out, and how could we do that differently?
Tweak it a bit.
Yeah. I mean, another thing is, if these six holes, obviously over six holes, it's likely to be level in a lot of matches. So they play this special shootout hole.
Yeah, which is nearest to the pin, is it?
No, that's been changed, actually.
Oh, right,
so
okay.
They just keep playing this. There's a special tee that for about, I think, 80 or 90 yards away from the green that they just play onto. And they just keep going until
is
there's
that
a winner.
Through the windmill?
Yeah, and then the clown's mouth. Yeah. So it's... in the early PR stuff, it was nearest the pin.
But it's changed.
Yeah. I think even they thought that's a bit gimmicky, isn't it?
Look, to be fair, just to put the plain devil's advocate slightly, golf TV ratings and golf participation is going down, isn't it? And the sport probably needs to look at things that make it more interesting, more exciting, because you can't rely on Tiger Woods forever.
Yeah.
Let's hope it works better than it looks like it'll work. I don't want to be negative about it, because it might be great, but...
There's another event coming later in the year in England, actually, where...
it's the same kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Where they're going to... little innovations, like have a caddy cam and, like, interviewing
the
players
good,
on
it?
The
that's
course.
Good.
And,
yeah,
adds to it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Is that part of the Super 6 as well? I think it might be, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, look, it's something a bit different, isn't it? And I have to be honest and say, if it's just an event in Australia... it would have limited interest for me, either from betting, and I'm not having a bet anyway, but I'll be more inclined to watch more of it with it this format, just see what it's like.
Yeah, because it could be really quite exciting that Sunday.
Could be, yeah. The field's not great, matches. Mind you, is it? That's the only
It's not great, but it could have been worse, possibly. Yeah, could have been even worse, I think.
I suppose what you've just said there, Mike, is exactly what the organisers are going for. People who wouldn't usually watch the event. Who are now going to tune in. In terms of a bet, Dave, does look a bit of a minefield. We have got Sporting Markets first round leader. I think, as you mentioned too, third round leader would be the ideal market here.
Possibly we could
end
have priced
of third up. Round leader.
Yes.
Yeah, then it's almost just like betting on the three quarters event, which you sometimes get anyway on if there's bad weather, 54 holes. But yes, I have got a bet in this tournament.
Go on, Dave.
It's a bit in the sort of spirit of having a bit of a go.
Go on.
And it is the first round leader market. I can't possibly play the outrights because...
Mm. Of what you've said.
Yeah. You know, player wins by 10 shots, 54 holes, and then gets knocked out.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Straight away. Or in his first round. So, first round leader. I've got a funny feeling as well. You know when they introduced the world match play in America and you got people like Jeff Maggett winning it and it's kind of all the TV people must be going, oh, no. So I've almost got this feeling that maybe a bit of an unknown might win.
It's very possible, isn't it?
Yeah. But the man who I had in mind, because it's so much of a lottery that last day, I'm going to play him in the first round leader market.
Okay.
And the guy is Mikko Korhonen, the Finn.
Yep.
So he's 50-1 to win the tournament. He's got good vibes about this course. He's played in that Perth International, which preceded this Super 6, and came 9th and 15th. So he likes the course. So that's the first good news. But the thing that really interests me, you look at his round one scores, he's a guy who likes a fast start. I checked back, and he was second after round one in three of his last 11 starts. So he's a guy who often...
Better start than yours,
though. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So he does fly out of the traps.
Got to find one myself now.
So he was second after day one in Qatar, second after day one in Portugal, second after day one in Italy, also 10th after day one in Abu Dhabi. So just... And to be honest, because this field is... There's a lot of Aussie players who... You know, poor, aren't they? I don't think he's got a lot to beat. I think if he just has one of his normal, almost normal good fast starts, I think that 50-1 could look a bit big. Yeah, so it's just one of those. It's a kind of a in the spirit of the thing, half a point each way. But I don't think it's a silly bet. Put it that way. I'm not just having a dart. I think there's some logic behind it. So he's in really good form at the minute on a course he likes, up against poor opposition.
That's your bet.
Likes to start fast, 50-1, Mikko Korhonen.
Yeah, well, I'm not having a bet, Sam, but obviously Peter Uihlein's someone I've had my eye on for a while, but he got placed the other week, didn't he, and his price is contracting now. So, but he's a winner waiting to happen for me. He's just coming back again. He has been for a little while, and it'd be fascinating to see how Alex Norén plays. He needs to kind of, to become a real top player, needs to start winning outside of Europe, doesn't he, the main European tour, and start winning in America and things like that. I think he's got the ability to myself if he stays injury-free. They're the two players I'll be having a look at. But for betting purposes, at this stage, at any rate, unless I see something, I'll be a watching brief.
Yeah. Okay. No bet then for Mike, but do keep an eye on Alex Norén and Peter Uihlein and Mikko Korhonen in the first round leader market for Dave. Currently 50-1 in that market. You can bet each way in that market as well. It's a quarter of the odds place, 1-5 in that market. He's also 50-1 for the tournament outright if you were looking to play him there. We'll move on to the PGA event now, which is something of a bit more familiar feel to it, that is for sure. This is the Genesis Open on the PGA Tour, formerly known as the Los Angeles Open. It's been the Nissan Open and was the Northern Trust Open until recently. It's now known as the Genesis Open. It's played at the Riviera Country Club, where it's been held pretty much since 1973 on a continuous basis. The course plays to a par of 71 and measures up at 7,322 yards. It's previously played host to the US Open and has held the PGA Championships twice, and the US Senior Open as well. Bubba Watson has won two of the last three renewals here. He's back for another crack, as are recent tour winners Jordan Spieth and Hideki Matsuyama, who have both been lifting trophies in recent times. It's a strong field that have assembled here, chaps. A really, really strong field.
Massively so, isn't it? Isn't it 8 of the top 10 in the world, I hear? It's almost got a major feel to it. It's not that far off. There really is a good field, isn't it?
If Rory was playing, it would almost be... Really,
Him and Ousteza, maybe.
And Stenson, and that would be the full house.
Yes. Yeah. So a great field on a great track, a really old, famous American course, which is fantastic, Riviera. Lots of good memories of watching the finishes of events there. Love the final few holes, and it's a course I really like. It's a mega tricky event for terms of betting, but I am going to have two bets at... There's a couple of players that have caught my eye, but there's quite a number of caught my eye. My shortlist is quite long. But yeah, I always like this event, and even more so this year with such a great field.
Yeah, you've got two bets, I've got one, so do you want to kick off?
I'll go first. I'm going to go for a past winner of the event, a guy who won in 2012, Bill Haas.
Oh, yeah.
An old favourite of the podcast. Was third in 2013. Now, he missed the cut the last 2 years, but look, that's good course for him, isn't it, Dave? And I think Haas is a man who... I always like Bill Haas at courses where he plays well. He's he is kind of one of a repeat player who tends to play well at the same places a lot of the time. Don't know what's gone wrong with him the last 2 years. That is a slight worry, I've got to say. But I like the price at 66-1, given that record and the fact that he's got five top 20s from five events this year, including a fourth in the HSBC. I just think he's playing in really solid form. He likes the course. I'm hoping he'll bounce back to past glories there. The key stats for me this week, strokes tee to green, strokes gained at tee to green, strokes gained approaching the green. He's nice stats on both those figures, both last year and in the shortened 2017 season. I think 66-1 is a very sporting each-way price for Bill Hassett, of course, where he's won before. I'd give him the benefit of the doubt the last two missed cuts here. Everything else looks really nice. He's coming into a nice bit of form. 20th, 4th, 13th, 13th, 17th, his last five events. Really good, solid form in decent events. I know this is a bit of a stellar field, but I reckon he'll be there or thereabouts, Bill Hassan. At 66, as he catches my eye.
Okay, and of course, we're betting a fifth of the odds place, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 as well now.
Definite for the sixth
place. On the
Genesis
Open,
so he's in the top
you're getting
six.
Plenty there.
Oh, yeah.
66-1 then, Bill Hass, the first selection for Mike. Dave, you've got a similarly confident pick?
Yeah, I'm going a bit nearer the front of the betting, although not to the very front. I did like Dustin. I think Dustin Johnson's got a massive chance, but
he's got great form there, hasn't he?
Sevens is a bit... So I'm going to go to a recent winner, actually, but not on the PGA Tour, Sergio Garcia.
You've made the same mistake I have. I'm going for him as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Whenever I tip him, he plays rubbish.
Right, well...
But I couldn't resist him, could you?
No. I'll give you some backup on
him. Go on.
So 25-1, Sergio. Absolutely loves this course. Should have won this tournament a couple of years ago.
Yes, he should.
If he'd finished par, he would have won. If he'd finished par bogey or bogey par... he would have got in a playoff, and he finished bogey. Mm. And that 17th is a par five, so it was a particular kick in the nether regions for Sergio. But he actually came out after that and said, I didn't deserve to win. It was a strange admission really.
He is a bit mental.
He just said, I didn't play, I didn't deserve it, I didn't play well enough.
Yeah.
And you looked at his stats and you thought, is it just Sergio sort of in a bit of a sulk?
Yeah.
But he was kind of right on his stats. He didn't play that well tee to green. And that's his big strength. So he kind of maybe did it by smoke and mirrors a bit to get fourth there, but it certainly wasn't a one-off. He's had a fourth there in 2012, a six, which is good for our new each-way terms.
Certainly
top
is,
six.
Yeah.
He's had a six there as well. And overall, he's had seven top 25s in 10 starts. You read some of the quotes he said about the course. He just says, I really love this place. It's a one that Sergio really likes, isn't it? A ball striker's course.
He loves it, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, one where... it's not just going to be a putting contest. It's going to be a proper test of tee to green golf. And you look at how he played tee to green when he won in Dubai Desert Classic. He was top of the greens in regulation stats, hit over 81% of his greens, fourth for driving accuracy there, top of the ball striking stats. So that's all good game-wise. But I think the thing that the X factor, if you like, with him, he's kind of got a new lady in his life, hasn't he?
What,
and he's getting married.
Yes, he is getting married. Yes, yeah.
So he's very, very happy. Half the battle with Sergio down the years has been what's going up
between his mental years. Approach can sometimes be fragile, can't it? You know, and some of the things he says after events are just, what is he saying that for?
It can just be
odd. When he's happy and he's so talented, so it could be a false dawn, but I just have a funny feeling he could have a big year this year.
Yeah.
I thought he was very good in Dubai.
I did. The fact that he went wire to wire in Dubai suggests his mental state is very good, because
Definitely.
That is a real test, isn't it? If you've got any flaws, you're going to...
Stents and chasing him, Dave, hadn't he? He wasn't your nobody, and he just looked like the old Sergio to me. It's really good.
So, and he's had a nice week off in between. It's not like he's coming here straight away and there's all the time zone and everything. I mean, he says he tries to fit this tournament in on his schedule whenever he can, because it's one of his absolute favourites, and I think 25-1 is a really good price on someone who loves the course and is banging form.
Yeah.
Anything to add, Mike? Or said it all, really?
No. Well, Dave, I think you've said the vast majority of it. You've really nailed it well there. And just to add to what you're saying, just on those two key stats that I mentioned earlier, the strokes tee to green, he's was top 10 on tour last year.
Yeah.
And strokes gained approaching the green, it was top 25.
Right.
You've just said it. Small greens here. You've got to get on in the right number, or you've got to scramble really well. Well, he's going to get on in the right number, I'm hoping, a hell of a lot. And this is just the type of course where Sergio can get another American win. He won on tour last year, didn't he, at the Byron Nelson? So it's not like he hasn't won in the US for a while. I really hope that this is the beginning of a big year for him, because he was good in Dubai, and let's see if he can do it when it matters here.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hot field, but the other side of that is it gives us a price on Sergio. He could have been, you know, 16 to 1 had it been a few less players.
Correct.
The top end.
And his last six outings here, Dave, he's got three top 10, so he looks very good from an each way appeal at 25, doesn't he? He really does. He's into the top 10 in the world now again. It's all, could be
it's
the
all
right
coming
time.
Together for
could,
him,
let's hope so. Let's hope so. We've had some false dawns with him before, but as I say, he did have that tour win last year in the US. And this is, this couldn't have come, the scheduling, this is really good after his win for his a week break, as you've said, and then into an event at a track that he really loves in the US.
Yeah, just he kind of
could be a real confidence booster.
Keep some chips on the table, back him again, I think.
Yeah, I like it. I'm in as well. Who else did you look at, Dave?
Well, you've got to give a lot of respect to Dustin Johnson, as I said. Spieth has got a fourth and a 12th here.
Yeah.
You know, you won. We've seen him win back-to-back before, so he can do it. Matsuyama's got some decent form there as well.
He has, I'm just looking at that, Dave.
So all the top bods, maybe apart from Jason Day, who hasn't really done anything at the course. A bit further down the betting. Well, Bubba's a funny one, isn't he? He's kind of no form at all, but he's won there twice in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Although he doesn't tend to defend very well,
no,
does he?
Doesn't.
We've seen it
no,
at the Masters.
Didn't he win then?
Tends to
play
win
pretty poor then. I say pretty poor. 1/14th won. So I wasn't so sure about him the other week there. I'm tempted to leave him for a while, albeit, you know what I said about Bill Haas earlier. I do think Bubba is the kind of player to back at places where he's won, because he does like doing that. I thought JB Holmes might have been on your mind.
And vice versa.
Yeah, he's got great form here, hasn't he? And he's been bubbling along nicely without actually getting in at the deep end, and I just thought 40s in such a tough field, I'd like to have seen him be a bit more competitive, whereas I can get nearly, well, not quite double the price, but a significantly bigger price on Bill Haas. I just thought maybe he'll do the business, but JB was on my mind. The top players all look good. Justin Thomas will be interesting, won't he?
Yeah,
two wins in a missed cut, hasn't really done anything here, but
well, I had a look at, I sort of delved a little bit deeper. I think he was second at halfway in one of those,
was he really? Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah.
So it might have been like 40-odd, but he was really in it at halfway. He just faded on the weekend.
I wanted to have a look at Adam Scott for a top 10, because I don't think he wins often enough, but he's got great kind of form figures around here. A little bit short at 6-4 for a top 10 placing, but I could see him playing. And he's going to be there or thereabouts, isn't he, Scott?
Yeah, he's playing well all the time.
Small greens, he'll hit them. Whether he puts well enough to win or not is kind of debatable, but he'll be there or thereabouts. That 6-4 is, I think, shorter than the market price, but so that put me off.
Keegan Bradley, you look at him.
Yeah, he's on my long shortlist.
Yeah, he's former runner-up. He lost a playoff here, and he's played well here a few times and came back to form with a top four in Torrey Pines.
Played very well,
and again, he's exactly what you want here. Brilliant tee to green, but his putting can be iffy on other courses, but it doesn't punish him as much.
There were four outsiders that are 100 to 1 or bigger that were all close but didn't make the cut. Webb Simpson played well the other week.
Yeah.
Got to a playoff. He's 100 to 1, I think. Or he's
into 80s.
Oh, he's
now,
into
Mark,
80s.
Yeah,
I think he was hundreds. Luke Donald used to play really well here. He's a massive price, but you wouldn't want to be sticking the mortgage on Luke Donald these days, but I think he might even be 200 to 1.
Wow. Yeah,
you look at some of his form figures. He had a little run a few years ago when I think it was about 2006 or thereabouts, where he went third, sixth, second. I noted, you know, so he used to be great here, not so much in recent years, to be fair. Brian Harman's an interesting outsider at a decent price. I think he's 125s, and
125 to 1.
Just
for
above
Brian
him
Harman.
There, Sam Patrick Rogers was another one that was on my list.
He would be my three-figure one, Patrick Rogers.
Yeah.
Another great ball striker.
He's a great ball
striker. Putter.
He is an iffy putter. If he gets his putting sorted, he's another one of those that could break through like a Justin Thomas, I think.
He set all those records, didn't he, Stanford?
Which is interesting, isn't it?
Did he break Tiger's records? Or he certainly...
record. I don't know whether he... But, you know, I have him down as someone who'll win soon as well. So those were the outsiders I looked at. And what is just... It's a fascinating field, to be fair.
Yeah, really looking forward to that one. Mm. A bit more easy to watch, probably, as well, time-wise, than the Aussie one.
Oh, for sure, I'll be recording the Aussie one, not watching it live. Justin Rose, I suppose, for those from this side of the pond, people will be thinking he has a fair chance here as well, won't they? He's shaping up all right, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Paul Casey's played well here before as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You can go on and on. Mickelson's won here
second
twice.
Second here, wasn't he, 2 years ago? Yeah. That's about 140 of the 100.
We should have at least mentioned the winner at some point.
It's not definite, Sam. It's not by any means definite. We'd like to think so, but...
Just keep reading them out.
There's a lot of players with good form with the right criteria here who are in good form, so it was complicated. But I like the two I've picked. And I might throw a little couple of bets at a couple of those outsiders that I mentioned.
It's going to be a tough one then to pick the who don't you want to win. There's about 20 of them.
Yeah, really hard. That's a challenge in itself.
Everyone you've just mentioned that you haven't put forward is the selection.
Anyone that I mentioned that wins that I haven't picked yet.
Yeah.
Well, who is your one player you don't want to win, Dave? Have you got one?
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Very, very tricky. So I always get a bit sort of, that's a bit boring if I pick the market leader.
Yeah.
He'd be one, though. If Dustin Johnson wins, I'd go, definitely do that. I suppose Mickelson, maybe, because he's kind of showing flashes, isn't he, at the moment? Mm. If he won here on a course where he's got a load of form, I'd kick myself a little bit.
Yeah, I get that. I suppose, one I haven't even mentioned, but just because I backed him last time and he blew up for me, Benny Ann would be a bit frustrating. But more likely, more realistically, JB Holmes could go well. But 40s just doesn't tempt me in. So that's a bit of a summary. There's another one I mentioned. Managed to slip another one in.
I think Brendan Steele might go well.
I like how you've both done that. I like how you just managed to get a...
Yeah. Then we can say,
in there as well.
Oh, I mentioned it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, replay it next week.
Gave him a favourable mention last week.
What points are you having? What are we having points?
Well, shall I go first? So I'll go back to Australia quickly and reiterate my bet there on Mikko Korhonen, but in the first round leader market, 50-1.
Yes.
I think quarter each.
Two, three, four, and five for
right,
the first round.
Sam, yeah. So he's made all these fast starts. So half a point each way on Mikko Korhonen, first round leader in the Perth Super 6 or whatever it's called. And then in the Genesis Open.
Yep.
At Riviera, I will go 1.5 points each way. Sergio Garcia at 25s.
Yeah, I'm just have a point each way on him at the same price at 25s. Now that we're each way the first six places, that helps. Mm. I like that. And in fact, I'll have the same a point each way on Bill Haas. So I do think he's a very decent 66-1 poker.
Okay, tremendous stuff. Then a couple of each way selections from the guys there for the Genesis Open. And remember, of course, here at William Hill, we are fifth of the odds place, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 for that event.
Thank you, Sam. I should also mention there's a seniors event this week, which is looking quite interesting. So I might tweet a bit on that, although my first efforts the other week were pretty poor, so I need to do better. But I do like the Champions Tour, so
what is it?
It's the Chubb Classic, Dave. Oh, okay. So hopefully we can find the key to that one.
Absolutely, hopefully so. Plenty of selections then being thrown about. Do remember you can follow the guys on Twitter. All the details are in the bio for this William Hill Golf Podcast. Is that about it for this week, chaps? Anything else to throw in the mix?
No, I'm happy with those.
Happy,
bets.
Sam. You did a great job there.
Yeah, well done.
Whew, thank you very much.
We don't need DK back, I think.
Agreed.
Can't Sam throw something in and make us look silly?
He could have.
Yeah, I mean, I don't watch enough golf outside of the majors to have an educated guess on this. Fine with the majors, but everything in and around the majors, it's a bit of a muddy waters for me in terms of golf. So I'll leave it to the experts, and that way I can't look foolish when I tip a loser.
We can look foolish.
You can look foolish instead of me.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Mike and Dave. Do check out audioboom.com, where you'll find all the William Hill podcasts. And of course, the William Hill website or the William Hill app is the place to be for all of the golf betting over the two or three events that we've got coming up this week. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast, and best of luck with all your selections this week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.